garden in this area, you have to love it because there's so many challenges. The soil is either sandy or at my house, it's clay. We have the mountain climate, and so sometimes freezes in the middle of June.
Yeah.
And of course, like all gardeners, we have to deal with rodents and deer and rabbit. And so...
Well, teach me, baby.
Guild podcast. I'm your host Scotty, as always, and today we have a special podcast. We have three guests in today from the garden. If you guys want to introduce yourselves.
I'm Sarah Voggs. I'm a garden volunteer from North Carolina, and I will be here until the end of May.
My name is Lois Oberg, and my husband is Dan, who's the director of the guild. So I've been involved with the garden since we started here 8.5 years ago, and so I've been managing the garden since Liz started it.
And I'm Anne Molino. I'm a garden volunteer for a year now. I came for 4.5 months and never left. So
that's how we get all of our staff up here.
Yeah, this is what I do.
That's great. So I guess, Lois, you and I probably know the most about the history of the garden. What do you know? Like, do you know when the garden was started?
Well, I don't know exactly, but I do know that when Liz got here, that was a real dream of hers, was to start a garden, but she had... some real challenges ahead of her.
Yeah.
She called the, I'm trying to think of the name of the office that you would call if you want.
Oh, like the Department of Agriculture?
Something
or
like that.
Or Interior? Or, yeah.
To find out what kind of garden expectations she could have around here. And they said, it depends upon which side of the river you decide to do the garden. And unfortunately, the west side of the the west side of the river was a side that did not produce well, and the east side was a side that did produce well. I don't really know why.
That's so strange.
Of course, the guild
soil.
Is in the not such great spot. But she decided to forge forward anyway. And you and I, Scotty, were talking about that it used to be like a truck turnaround.
Yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah, I think they used to park like the back ends of the logging trucks here and load up the logs and turn the trucks around when they're trying to go up River Road and log up here. And so I don't think any of the trees were here. I certainly know this was all dirt and gravel over where the garden is. It's a pretty big transformation. Even just getting grass to grow is hard.
Yes.
When we redid our septic a couple years ago here, you know, they dug up all the topsoil and mixed it all up, and it took a long time just to get grass to grow back there. I can't imagine what it takes to, you know, get a producing garden.
Well, I don't really think there is much as far as topsoil goes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sandy soil.
Yeah.
So as far as nourishment goes, it's just not there. It's great drainage, but just no real nourishment because it's so close to the river.
Yeah.
And so I think Liz ended up just bringing in tons of manure and doing all kinds of green manure, planting lots of green manure in there, in that area, trying to build up the soil. And I think she told me that it wasn't until about 15 years after she started the garden that she really could say she got some significant things out of the garden.
That's wild.
And the thing that she always jokes about is that she thinks if you dug down about 20 feet below the garden, there'd be this most majestic garden down there. Because all the manure, all the nitrogen, all the yummy stuff just like has sunk.
Yeah. But it produces pretty well now, though.
Yeah, but by the time I got here 8.5 years ago, it's a beautiful sandy loam with a lot of lots of worms, and I entered into and was able to right away utilize all of Liz's work. And not, I still worked hard, but not like she did.
Yeah, yeah. And you've had garden experience before coming to the guild.
Yeah, well, I grew up on a farm.
Okay.
So it was kind of organically in me, but I, but had many years where I didn't garden. I lived in Seattle and Chicago. And once I started having kids, I started getting back into gardening. So when Dan got the role as director here, I instantly saw the garden and instantly saw a place that I could contribute.
Yeah, that's great. So what are some new things that are happening in the garden this year? What can visitors returning for the summer expect to see different, maybe?
Well, Scotty, you can tell us like big things.
Yeah, that was kind of a leading question.
Yeah.
I had some help by a couple of volunteers that were here earlier, and we built a hoop house right behind the garden. It replaced the old cold frame, which was by the labyrinth, which was falling apart and didn't look very good, and it really kind of impeded upon the beauty of the labyrinth, and really kind of impeded upon the stuff that was growing inside of it. The tomatoes would be all cramped together, and you know, inevitably some point during the summer it would split open. And so we decided to tear that down, and instead of building another one there, which was also a long way from all the other parts of the garden, and the greenhouse is attached to the side of the centrum, we built a hoop house right behind the garden. And so it's, I think it's 36 by 12 feet. That's so it's big. It's a big improvement, a big jump up from the cold frame that we used to have. So that's really cool. What are you going to grow in there? Do we know?
Tomatoes?
Well, yeah, we're hoping to do at least 20 tomato plants. That's what we crammed into the small cold frame last year.
You fit 20 tomato plants in the cold frame?
We had 20 in there, so we're going to have at least 20 again. And then we had the eggplant and the peppers in the side greenhouse, and I want to put those out there as well. And it'll be something, number one, there's no infestation at this point of aphids, and so I can get a control of it right away. But there's lots of room, so we'll do basil in there as well.
We are. And you have given us probably hours extra to our life.
Oh, cool.
Because we're not going to be walking back and forth to that, to the one that's a little further away.
No.
Yeah.
So we're not going to know what to do with all our garden time.
Oh, it was fun. It's always nice to have a building project in the spring, and this was perfect.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, it looks really good. It's, you know, it's surprising for something that I found the plans off of the internet and winged half of it. It turned out pretty good.
So. It did. It turned out great.
Yeah.
The other big thing in the garden that we're doing differently that's exciting is to garden in this area, you have to love it because there's so many challenges. The soil is either sandy, or at my house, it's clay. We have the mountain climate, and so sometimes freezes in the middle of June.
Yeah.
And of course, like all gardeners, we have to deal with rodents and deer and rabbit. And so we've had a lot of problems with our root vegetables when it comes to moles and, what was it, a shrew that you...
Shrew.
Yeah, from last year. And so we've been... So 2 years ago, we started to convert the garden into root beds using cement blocks and then hardware cloth, which is essentially much tougher, and chicken wire, only with a lot smaller of a grid. But that still didn't stop the shrew situation. So, because they come up and over and nibble the top of the vegetables. So our new invention that we hope will work is using old roofing.
Like the metal roofing?
Like the metal roofing from, that have been pulled off of the roofs and garden raised beds at my house that are made from the gilded roofing that we used all that up.
Yeah, from the paint studio when I got hit by the tree a couple years
ago. So we actually borrowed some, we took some from some friends that gave them to us. And so we'll see visually how it looks. We're hoping it doesn't look too run down, but because of the slick metal sides, the shrew shouldn't be able to climb up. And then we have the hardware cloth underneath so they can't get it from the ground. So we have two beds. Or one's been made and one's in the process. Sarah is making the other bed right now.
How tall are they? Like, how far do they stick above the ground?
Oh, about a foot and a half.
Oh, wow. So quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So those are the two main new things.
Very nice. So we have all this new stuff that's going on in the garden. What are each of you most excited about that's going to be growing in the garden this year? Like, is there a new vegetable or something that you're really hoping is going to do well this year?
Actually, we had some Jerusalem artichoke given to us. That's not like real excited about it yet, but it's a curiosity because none of us have tried it. We haven't eaten it. And it's supposed to be a potato alternative with a sweet, nutty flavor if you harvest it after the frost, first frost.
Okay.
So it just looks like a big tuber. It's a root. It looks kind of more like what? Turnip or something.
Like, I mean, the actual thing that you eat is like a turnip?
Well, it almost... It's the root. It's the root. Yeah, it has a look of its own. It's really weird. It's knobby. It looks like a root, a big root knot. And so scrubbing it and peeling it is going to be an interesting challenge in itself. So we're going to test it first and see if it even tastes good.
Okay.
But if it does, it's a perennial, and it will reproduce itself kind of like tulips, where their bulbs will make little bitty bulbs.
Okay.
And so this thing will, I guess, just be invasive as all get out. So we will confine it if we decide we like it.
Okay.
And then that would be something new. The other cool thing about it, just from reading about it, is that its foliage, it has really big, beautiful flowers.
Ooh, that's worth it. We'll have to talk to the cooks, one being you and Sarah Jane and Tony, and see if you guys, what you guys think of it, and if you're willing to do the work, because it might be a lot of work. So.
Yeah,
because you have to boil them.
Okay.
And peel them and
wash and peel them.
But I think it's more than peeling a potato. I think it's like
Well, they're kind of weird, kind of like almost like a ginger root.
That's a good way to describe it.
They're just they're more like a knot.
So if anybody knows about Jerusalem artichokes.
That's right. Please write in. leave a comment on our website or on Podomatic or iTunes. And you can always write in to me at scott@grunewaldguild.com. And let us know if you've had Jerusalem artichokes. Yeah. Are they also known as sunchokes? Is that another way?
That's no idea.
I think so, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But clearly we're not that familiar with it.
Well.
So, you know. I'm excited about, well, I'm excited about whatever's going to go into the hoop house. And it would be just fabulous to have more tomatoes and a greater variety of tomatoes if we feel like we can extend the season a little better out there. For the most part, we have to stick with the 70 to 80 day tomatoes, but there's lots of other varieties out there that would be super fun to try that we just haven't. I have tried here and there, but for the most part, it's not worth the space because it doesn't turn out. And finally, our strawberry beds are a couple years old now, so I'm just really hoping that we're going to get, especially from our June berries, a wonderful showing of berries that can actually make a significant difference in the kitchen.
Nice.
Berries are one of those things that are kind of part of the dirty dozen. You know, they can, so if we purchase them from the store, a lot of times, if they're not organic, they're a lot of pesticides have been put on them, so if we can contribute to the... And they're not cheap either. So if we can contribute to the kitchen, both organic and our own berries that we don't have to pay for, I think that would be an amazing contribution to the kitchen. We've never been able to produce anything of any major significance, but maybe this is the year.
I'm totally in for it. I love fresh strawberries. And the raspberries look like they're doing pretty good too.
Yeah, and we've been taking, since the past 3 years, I've actually had my own garden volunteers that are like mine. And since that's happened, there's been some cool transformations in the garden. One being much more attention to the raspberries because I essentially just ignored them because I just didn't have enough time to deal with them. Yeah,
raspberries kind of take care of themselves for a while, but then they get a little overgrown.
They kind of take over.
Yeah. It took a lot of work for everybody that I talked them. So I'm thankful for Anne and Mary and then Emily the year before we finally tamed our raspberry patch.
Yeah.
Nice. Sarah, what are you excited about seeing growing in the garden?
I have my eye on the rhubarb right now.
Oh.
I want it to come up and be ready and go into a pie. But I'm really excited about the flowers because the soil here is so different and the climate from home. So
Where is your home?
In North Carolina. North Carolina. It's like, I live in a pretty loamy area, but it's a lot of clay and dense and shade. So there are going to be hollyhocks here, and lupines, and poppies, and I can't wait to see them all.
So we hope you see the lupin before you leave.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think you will?
I've spotted a couple.
Yeah, you will.
Budding already.
Nice.
Yeah.
You won't see the hollyhocks flowered. You'll see the
I'm seeing the seedlings, though, and they look happy.
If that makes you happy, I'm thrilled.
I'll text you pictures.
Well, and the hollyhocks were a volunteer here in the garden, right?
They were. They just showed up one year. Yeah, it was our little... I mean, every year I call it the year of the... So there's usually something that happened that was semi-miraculous. And 2 years ago, it was the year of the hollyhock because it was scarlet and we have no idea where it came from. It was amazing. And now we've got all kinds of babies that are popping up from the seeds.
Nice. So earlier, Anne, you were talking about an aphid infestation in the greenhouse. And so I know you have a little biology background. And I was wondering, in case anybody out there has having a problem with aphids, how did you get rid of them? Like, what did you do to the aphids?
Okay, so the thing about aphids is you have to actually address not just them, but ants. Because ants are farmers, and they farm aphids. And they will bring the eggs, and they will put them on your plants. And then once the aphids have become little insects that are sucking down all the juices out of your peppers or whatever, then the ants will actually take them back to feed their larvae. So they milk the aphids and get this kind of nectar stuff that they make and they feed their larvae. So you can wipe out the aphids and ants will bring back more eggs and reinfest your plants. So yeah, we want to go ahead and spray the plants. There's a couple of things. Usually we want to make the plants stronger, so we make a foliar spray, usually magnesium. We're going to add magnesium to it, so an Epsom salt solution. And the second thing is you can do a detergent solution. It's like a tablespoon to 3 tablespoons of a Dawn dish detergent in water, a gallon of water, and that's it. And then just really soak down the aphids themselves, spray them, wait a couple hours, rinse your plants. That's going to denature the proteins in the aphid's body, and it's going to kill them. So
that sounds terrible.
I know. So you can kill the aphids that are on there and wash them off physically, but like I said, then the ants are going to come back and give you new eggs, and you have aphids all over again. So this is like every like twice a week you're fighting aphids. So the next thing to do then is to try to get rid of the ants, and to that end, I make a borax sugar solution in water. You just boil some water and then dissolve a whole lot of sugar, a cup of sugar to a tablespoon of borax, something like that, because you're making it sweet. The ants are drawn to the sugar. It's camouflaging the borax. They take it home to the nest and the queen, and then they spread it around. It takes about a week, and it'll kill the colony. So basically what you're doing is you're removing those ant colonies.
And it really worked. It was cool really? To see them all coming to the little tray, soaking up all of the borax, and then the next day.
So you just put them in like a little tray?
We soaked some pieces of sponge
Okay. And
then set it in like a yogurt lid so that way they didn't drown in the mixture.
Yeah, you don't just have open solution because okay. They'll drown and then it's not, doesn't.
And it doesn't really, they're not bringing it back to the nest. And
yeah.
That's cool. Well, that's good to know. And so you don't have to buy anything. I mean, well, I guess if you don't have borax, you probably have to buy some borax.
Yeah,
but
all cheap, stuff. Right?
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's such a blessing for. I mean, that's another thing that I would tend to ignore was infestations of bugs because I just didn't have the time. And Anne has really tackled that problem, and we still have it, but we have a means
to address it.
Yeah.
Nice. So with all this cool produce coming out of the garden, what is your favorite like vegetarian dish? Like, what is the thing that you like to eat the most that comes out of the garden?
That's like to make. It's got to be some form of stir fry where you get to have, you know, whether it's a Thai type stir fry or even one of those vegetable curries, or a simple Chinese stir fry, because you have. Can just go in there and just choose a million things. It's different every time, depending upon what vegetables are ready to go.
I love the idea of a stir fry garden. People have salsa gardens, but
yeah, stir fry garden. Yep, I would say this is a stir fry garden out there.
Nice.
Well, and I'm a huge fan of just the greens. Mm-hmm. Going out there, especially like going just picking what's ready. You know, we had scallions last year, and then we had a whole bunch of different mixed lettuces, and then we had mustard and. Kale, and I mean, just go and pick and throw it in your salad, and you have this lovely salad. And then we had carrots, and we had you name it, we had
fresh carrots are amazing.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's fun to have lots of greens because I feel like I can, when it comes to both herbs and greens, I can tell guests that if they really want to go out there and pick themselves a little salad, they could because there's so many of them. I want them to stay away from pulling out carrots and stuff,
yeah.
But when it comes to the greens, it's like, have at it,
yeah.
The kale is starting to pop up in the garden.
It's Scotty's favorite.
Oh, good.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm dreaming of like toast with sautéed kale on top of it and then an egg dropped over that.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'll take some of that, please.
That sounds excellent. I might actually eat kale if it comes in that form. That sounds good.
Okay, you know what? You'll have to, before you leave us, you need to make Scotty a meal just like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when do you think the garden is going to start producing? Like right now, obviously, we're recording in the middle of April, and so things are really just now starting to come up. When do you think the first kind of crop of things will be showing up?
Well, if you consider our herbs, we're already, except for herbs like cilantro and basil,
we're
already producing herbs.
Nice.
And we're probably a few weeks away from being able, lots and lots of chives. We're probably just a few weeks away from being able to use our rhubarb. And then hopefully by... certainly by the beginning of May, we'll have thinned out like baby lettuces and spinach and kale. And hopefully by mid-May, we'll be completely supplying the kitchen with greens.
Great.
Those spring.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, so if you're coming to the Guild sometime this spring, be prepared for some fresh garden vegetables and things that are coming out. So if you're listening to this at home and thinking, oh, this sounds really cool. I don't know much about gardening, or I am a gardener. I want to come and help out. Are there opportunities for people to come and help in the garden?
So many opportunities.
All right. Tell me about some.
First of all, I know that we already have a work day planned. That's June 6th.
June 6th, right here at the Guild?
Right here at the Guild. And that will be probably from like 9 till 5. And that's a great day for a lot of people to come together and get some of the bulk work done. But because I'll have these two amazing volunteers, Anne and Sarah, there's a lot of time within the week, depending upon our schedule, that between the three of us, we could work with somebody out in the garden. If somebody is like, well, I've got Wednesday afternoon free from 2 till 4, can you use me then? Well, just contact me. I can give my number at some point, and okay. and we'll figure out what can work out. But because there's three of us, there's lots of flexibility in time that would work. Would you agree, girls?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. And let's say that I were a guest coming up here and spending a week, and I thought, well, maybe I'd like to just give an hour or so one afternoon in the garden. Are there any opportunities like that, like weeding or?
Oh yeah, it depends upon experience too.
Yeah.
Sure.
Stick in a patch where, yeah, absolutely. There's always something in the garden to do, and we'll just show you whatever area we need to be worked on and identify what's a plant and what's a weed. You know, something that we don't want you to pick versus something we do, and sure.
Great. Well, thank you all for coming in. This has been fun to talk about the garden, and I hope our listeners enjoyed it. If you are interested in coming up and helping out in the garden, I would say probably contact us either through the website or call the office, and the guild number is 509-763-3693. You can always contact the office at office@grunewaldguild.com, or if you live locally and want to contact Lois, you can stop on by the guild and we'll put you in touch with Lois. Okay, great. So, Lois and Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scotty.
Yep. All right. Thanks.
And thanks for joining us for the Grunewald Guild Podcast Gardener Edition. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had a good time. I had a great time recording it. Again, if you want to come up and get some work done in the garden, help Lois out. June 6th is the work day here at the Guild. It's a great time to come up, help out the Guild, get a free lunch, get a place to stay, and it's going to be really fun. So June 6th, contact the Guild through our website or call the office or email the office at office@grunewaldguild.com or call us at 509-763-3693, and we'd love to put you in touch with Lois and have you come up and help out. Also, upcoming events at the Guild, we're getting ready for Liturgical Arts Week. It's starting this Sunday, so if you haven't signed up and you want to make a last-minute decision to come and take a class, now's the time to do it. Go ahead and sign up through our website. Also, on next weekend, on Mother's Day, we have an open retreat time. So it's a time for personal retreats. You can come up, have meal service, spend a nice weekend at the Guild, get away from the city or wherever you're coming from. And it's a really good time and a great opportunity to be able to be up here. So, thanks for listening. I hope you all have a great day.
Just exactly how far you are away. Should I stop walking now, baby?